Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
It's funny. I came to the Lord a little over 40 years ago, and before that, I was a sinner. And wasn't really raised in church. Meant nothing to me. It looked pitiful to me, the whole thing. But what happened was that Jesus made himself real to me. And it's like, oh my gosh, this stuff's real. A few months later, I came to the Lord, and I'm telling you, I was so, my receptivity was so heightened that, and everything was about faith and trust in God and proclaiming God's promises, and it was wonderful. It was incredible. And then I grew in that, and it seemed like the whole message of the church generally was vision. Man, you gotta cast vision, you gotta catch vision, you gotta write your vision and make it plain. And everything was about vision. It was wonderful. And then things kind of kept moving and moving, and it became culture. And it was, man, culture eats vision for breakfast. And it's not just what we do, it's how we do it. And I completely agree with that. And it's how we not only have church and do church, but it's how we live our lives. That we're honest people. That we have basic honesty that operates in our life. We don't gossip. We don't talebearer. We don't murmur. We don't complain. Because that's the will of God for us in Christ Jesus. But it went from to me it was the word of faith and trust in God and vision and culture, and now it's leadership. And everywhere you turn, it's leadership and developing. Are you developing leaders, and are you building leaders, and are you? And I think all of that, and again, it's wonderful. But I'm telling you where things are going. And this is more, I guess, it feels like a prediction in my heart. But where things are going in the church, and it's where we're going to be from here on out, where we've been, it's trust, it's faith, it's vision, it's culture, it's leadership, and it gets to winning. That's why we're on this earth, is to win. In Him we live and move and have our being, in Him. The cross, leading to the cross, the 3 years of public ministry that Jesus walked in, he battled every day, battled. He died. They put him in that tomb. He went to hell. What did he do? He battled. He walked out of that tomb, listen, and we're victorious because we're identified with that man who walked out of that tomb. We win. So what I believe church is church removes the obstacles in our lives to get to that place of just winning. That's what God's called you to do. By nature, all of us have that in us. Some people are more by nature and even nurture competitive than other people. I know our home, but Pastor Sandy is one of the most competitive people I've ever met. And so what? We have competitive kids. We have competitive grandkids. But in life, in church, for me, I'm not competing against, but I'm competing with. I want all of God I can get. I want to live the greatest life imaginable. I want to example every bit of God's promise that He's given us. And that's who. No matter how you came in here. And our prayer for over 27 years, every single week, Pastor Sandy and I, every single week, oh God, that we don't leave the same way we came in. See, God's going to love you the way you are. That's the God that we serve. Isn't that amazing? That God loves you. God knows your name. And God's doing an incredible work in your life. So God loves you. He loves you just the way you are. All your cracks and miscuts and chips and all of it. But he loves you so much the way you are, he's not going to leave you the way you are. I'm bound and determined that you're going to leave here today better than the way you came in. I mean, everything about your life. You'll say, well, my marriage, heck yeah, man. I'm telling you, you're sitting with your spouse right now. God's doing a work right now in your marriage, in your life. That's how God does it. The way he does anything is the way he does everything. Man, if you've got, you'll say, man, I got my elbows been bothering me. God just doesn't surgically touch your elbow. He pours his healing provision all over your body. But listen, and life, God's not just going to touch your elbow. He's going to touch your marriage. God's going to bless your kids. See, that's what we have to understand. And what we have to understand, we talked about last week, as Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he said, not that I've attained, not that I've perfected, but one thing I do, I forget those things which lie behind me. And I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I'm moving forward, I'm straining. My hope for this year, it's going to be different for you. My hope for this year is this is the greatest year you've ever lived. Right here and right now, that this year's beginning. And where can we go as a dynamic people this year? How many lives can be impacted and affected? I'll just tell you, man, this is exponential growth. Man, since the beginning of November, this church has grown 22%. Just from last year to this year, comparing January's, January 2020, compared to January 19, there's a 40% increase in finances in the church. And you look at it and you think, well, is it about money? Let me tell you what it's about, because yes, it is. Because it's all about vision. Because people follow vision. But guess what? And let me tell you, take this to the bank, literally. People follow vision. So what's the vision? We're going to change the world. We're going to win every dadgum day. I'm going to be strong in the power of his might, in the will of God, in my life. I'm going to be bold as I have to be. The Bible says bold as a lion. Man, I'm going to be strong. I'm going to be unapologetic, but I'm going to be very clear that vision, people follow vision. And let me help you. Money follows people. Because it's not money. It's provision. See, the conduit between your vision and the provision of your life are people. God always uses people. So we can't, I'm not going to get up here and go, well, it's going to be hard to talk about money. I know it's difficult. It's like, see, let me just tell you, it's not about the church getting your money. It's not. It's about God blessing your life. God said, look, prove me, try me, test me in this. Man, you give the first 10% of your income. Man, try me. God's calling you out. You understand that? He's saying that I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you're unable to receive. I'll rebuke the devourer from the midst of you. Your fruit won't fall into or from the vine, and you'll be called a delightful land. It's like, oh my gosh, sign me up. Man, the Bible says don't judge, don't condemn, forgive, and give. And God will give back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's the life God's called you to live, that running over life. You can't help yourself but be successful. You can't tell, see, because in the origin of this whole thing, God looked at Adam and he said, okay, he said, I want you and Eve to do, be fruitful, multiply. You ready for this? Take dominion. Be fruitful, multiply, take dominion. It's like, oh my gosh, I got to win. I got to go out and win today. Man, you get a diagnosis, you beat it. How? The words of your mouth, the words of your testimony, the trust you have in God, and the resilience you have to receiving doubt and unbelief and the deceit that the enemy tries to put in your life. See, this is all, no matter what you're facing. See, how in the world are we linked as more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us? And I'll tell you how that is, because what a conqueror is someone who wins, right? That's simple definition. We can all work with that definition. Well, what's more than a conqueror is somebody that knows they're going to win. See, that's how I want you leaving here today. And you know what? This may not settle immediately in your life, because you might have been raised where, man, you're not worth much, or, man, you don't win much, or you're not that guy that wins the lottery, and you're not that guy that gets the... No, it's not about... There's no gamble here. It's the casa of God, not the casino of God. There's no risk. There's no odds. There's no risk. There's no odds. Write that down. See, in this, let me tell you, let me make the juice worth the squeeze for you. All you have to do is trust God. Keep your eyes on Him. Don't let it depart from His promise. See, why? Because, man, He's given us the word of faith that we preach, is what the Bible says. And why? Because that word is full of faith. See, faith comes, Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How does that happen? What are the dynamics? It's not magical. It's not mystical. It's because the word is full of faith. So when you speak the word, what are you speaking? Faith. Man, you don't let that word, don't let it depart from man. Make sure it's on the tip of your tongue. Keep it in front of your eyes. Keep it in your heart. Man, meditate upon it. Day and night, meditate upon the word. Man, I listen to this podcast, and you hear that new album and all that. And all that stuff's well and good, let me just tell you. But none of it's going to bring you victory. The victory comes from God's promise, 100%. And you know what? You may disagree with me, and I'm giving you the latitude to do that. You're permitted to disagree with me. Just understand you're wrong. But you're allowed to disagree with me all you want. I'm just telling you, the word's powerful. The word is the most powerful thing in the universe. God walked out into darkness, right? And He said, yep. Light be. Two words, light be. What happened? Bing. It's better now. The light brings better. So we've gone from the power of darkness to the light. The power of Satan to the power of the living God. It's all about, and how do we get that light turned on? We speak the word in season and out of season, whether it feels like it or not. See, and the reason we're able to do that is 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, God's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. The only thing that keeps our faith from working and God's promise from being in our lives is unrighteousness. All we got to do is confess our sin. That's all we have to do. And if we say we have no sin, we're a liar. But guess what? Here's what's interesting. When we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and reestablish our identity with Him. So now I'm not identified as a sinner, I'm a son. I'm a son who maybe sins once in a while. But if I confess my sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin, I can't take that identity of a sinner. You know, there's preachers out there. I'm telling you, weak as all freaking get out to me. I'm not kidding you. They'll say, well, you know, we're all sinners. It's like, stop it. No, you know what? Greater is He who's in us than he who's in them. Man, I'm not swallowed up in the world. I know what's going on in the world. I am not letting it affect my heart. When it begins to affect my heart, I turn it off. Why? The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the essence of life, the issues of life. Everything you need in life flows from your own heart. See, what the enemy wants you doing is thinking you don't have what you need. So you're going to go over here and try to reach out and grab this. Or maybe if I partner with these guys over here, I'll get this. Or, man, this investment's going to be the answer. None of those things are the answer. Jesus is always the answer. Always the answer. And then, guess what? When Jesus is the answer, you make an investment, everything you put your hand to prospers. And you'll say, well, I'll always make money, or I'll always be successful. Let me help you with success. You can't help it when Jesus is your answer. You can't help it. And today, we're not focusing on what we do wrong. We're focusing on what God did right. God did it. Let me just tell you. God got it right. He said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take this group of people, and I'm going to eliminate them from the equation. So now Terry and I aren't in the equation anymore. Jesus took our place in the equation to make us righteous. So nothing, I can't live good enough. I can't love Sandy faithfully enough. I can't be committed enough to the church. I can't, to be righteous. The only chance I have to be righteous is to give my life to Jesus. That's the only chance I have. See, and so once I give my life to Jesus, then you walk and there's an accuser because the devil stands before God. I'm not supposed to be bold, and freaking Lucifer is bold enough to stand before God accusing me day and night? Well, shoot. Not today. I'm going to be that bold. Oh, you know what? Man, those militant religious fanatics out there, they are so much more committed as us. You know what I say about that? Bull. Don't let those commentators sway you. We are way more committed than they are to their cause. And let me help you. You want some great news? There's more with us than there are with them. And our God is greater. Our God is bigger. Our God is more powerful. Man, when we start speaking like this, your problems, man, they're standing in front of you like this, and then they start cowering, and the next thing you know, they're a grease spot in the floor that you're calling somebody to come clean up. Man, what do you face right now? How many of you guys are facing bankruptcy? How many of you guys are facing the end of your marriage? How many of you guys are facing your kids just living like hell? Let me tell you something. All of that turns today in the name of Jesus. You know why? We say so. Man, let's go to the book of Joel. Get your Bible over to the book of Joel. You got to make some notes. You got to underline some things today. The book of Joel. Joel 3:10. Tell me when you're there. You're not there yet. There you go. Beat your plowshares into swords. See, this requires a little bit of passion. Think about it. Beat your plowshares into swords. Huh. I got to take the work and the diligent part of my personality, you know, where I look like consider the ant kind of thing, and I've got to take that tool, that instrument, and I got to beat it into a sword. My tongue is going to become a sword now. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Whew. Everybody do that. Do it again. Come on, Sepulpa, I want to hear you. Do it again. Okay. Let the weak say,
I'm strong.
Poor. Let the weak say,
I am strong.
No, you need to go all Cassius Clay on it today. You got to float like a butterfly and sting like a bee today. You got to say, I'm the greatest. Let the weak say,
I am strong.
That's who we are. That's what we're about. And then he doesn't just stop there. It's not just a motivational time. He said, assemble and come. All you nations, look around, different colors, different shades, different sizes, different genders, different ages, different financial backgrounds, the whole thing, different professions, the whole thing. Look around. Gather together, all you nations. Cause your mighty ones to go down there, O Lord. This is what church is about. What church is about is that simple three-word statement, I am strong. See, you guessing here, you people that haven't been here very long, maybe a few months. I met some people that came here for Christmas Eve, and they said, man, this is our church. We're all in. You know, do it. And you know why that is? Yeah, the music's incredible, and sometimes the preaching hits the mark, and people get greeted. The coffee's pretty good. The kids get ice cream. I met one guy after the 9:30 service, and he walked up to me and he said, Pastor, I'm so thankful for this place. I said, man, that's awesome. He said, you want to know why? And I said, yeah. He said, because I was driving home, and the second time we visited here, my 8-year-old son, I was talking to him, and I said, son, because I talked about gratefulness in the service. He said, son, what are you grateful for? And his son is sitting in the seat beside him, licking his ice cream, and he looked at his dad. His dad said, what are you grateful for? He said, my church. The second time he'd come. Man, I'm telling you, it pierced my heart. I'm so thankful for this church. No way I could be the man I am now without you guys. And let me tell you something. I'm strong. Let me tell you what Sandy is. Sandy's strong. Taylor, Brooklyn, Kennedy, Press, Cassie, all the grandbabies. Let me just tell you, we're strong. You know why we say so? And you know what? It doesn't say, hey, let you guys have been working out for a while. Let you guys that can pop 400 of that bench. Let you guys that can run a 5-minute mile. Let you guys know. It isn't any of that. It just says, let the weak. Why? Because Paul said, in my weakness is made his perfect strength. His grace is sufficient for me. Wait a second. His grace is something more than just some syrupy church term. His grace is his power. How many of you guys have ever been to the Grand Canyon? Anybody been to the Grand Canyon? What kind of power did it take to create the Grand Canyon? That kind of power is in you now. And that's what we've got to understand. We assemble and we gather together every kind of people. Why? Because you want to sit around strong people. Let me tell you, Press is coaching in the NFL. Man, he's gonna bring in guys that are fast and they're quick and they're fundamentally sound and they're strong. They got good personalities. Their moral character's great. But it all boils down to one thing. They win. They're winners. Why do you think Alabama and LSU and Clemson and Oklahoma and those schools always have multiple people drafted every year? Because they're coming from winning programs. And those NFL coaches are hoping they can translate that college winning into professional winning. We're hoping you can translate the church service winning that you're doing here to winning out there. That everything you put your hand to prospers. That's the people we are. We assemble and we gather together. We come in here because we're called. Listen, we're called to blessing. And let me tell you, that hooks a lot of people. But you know what? There's a shelf life to that blessing continually coming in our life, because the second thing we're called to is to be a blessing. And that's how that repercussive impact, that flywheel continues to turn in our life, because we're blessed to be a blessing. We give to receive, to give to receive, to give to receive, to give to receive, to be blessed, to be a blessing, to be blessed, to be a blessing. And what does that cause in our life? When that flywheel starts turning, it's success. That's the guaranteed formula for success. Is you're blessed to be a blessing. You're blessed to be a blessing. Let the weak say, that's where it starts. And then we come, we assemble together, we gather together, and then mighty men go down. Mighty men leave the assembly. And then from that success comes dominion. And if you want, you're called to peace, love, and joy. And if you want that operative in your life, you live a life of dominion. And the next domino that falls is peace, love, and joy. People need to hear this. They need to hear it clearly and definitively and powerfully and unapologetically. If I got up here and said, man, it's a little awkward, but God wants you to win. No, you look that dadgum cancer in the eye and you say, be removed and be cast into the sea. I'm not receiving any doubt in my heart. I have what I say. Everybody say, I have what I say. Yes. Say it again. Yes. Let the weak say, yes. Man, whose report are you going to believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. Whose report are you going to believe? So you got to find it out. You can't walk in ignorance anymore. You can't go, well, you know, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Show me where it says that. Please. I will change my doctrine if you show me. Because it's not there. That's what we have to understand. This is a year of turnaround for you. Do you believe that? This is a year of turnaround for you. All you got to do is believe it and speak it. And you know what? Apply God's word to it, because God's word is full of faith. And the just live by faith. So we're always speaking God's word. This is a year of turnaround. It's the year of revival. It's the year of deliverance. Let me tell you, your enemies are getting rocked right now. Do you understand that? How many of you guys have some enemies in your life? Can I see your hands? You got some spiritual enemies in your life. Man, the devil is continually poking and jabbing and throwing hooks and, man, trying to uppercut you and lay you out. How many of you guys have things like that in your life? Man, notice is being served to them right now. Man, they're waking up because you're waking up. Man, you're getting up on your feet. You've been knocked down, but you're getting back up today. That's revival. That's deliverance. And you know what with that? You know what I hear the sound of? I hear the sound of abundance. The sound of abundance. And when in the scripture was, the man of God said, listen, you saw the cloud, you run. You don't take your time. No lollygagging here. You run and you go tell them, dig some canals, because this water is fixing, the blessing's fixing to overtake them. See, you don't want a blessing to come and go, oh my gosh, it came out of nowhere. No, I know God's blessing me today. I know I'm going to get out of bed tomorrow and my feet are going to hit the ground. I'm a winner. God's blessing me today to be a blessing. God's blessing me to be a blessing. Success and dominion are in my life. Why? Because God's blessed me to be a blessing. So there's revival, there's deliverance, there's abundance. And you know what comes with all that? That three-word statement, I am strong. How strong? Stronger than I need to be. Why? Because I serve the God of more than enough. More than enough. That's the kind of mentality you have to have in your life. More than enough. What I have is more than enough. Man, what do you have? I just got this little cruise of oil. It's all I've got. I'm going to make some cakes for my son and I, and then we're going to go die. What'd the man of God say? You make those cakes for me first. And then what you do is you start gathering containers. They got all the containers from the house, and they were all filled with oil. They had to go to neighbors' houses, and they all were filled with oil. And they went beyond that into their neighborhood, and they're all filled with oil. They got them all from the whole community, and they were all full of oil. And then the containers, there were no more, and the oil stopped. Man, if you come to offer God, well, God, I just need a little bit. That's what you're going to get. He's not the God of a little bit. He's the God of more than enough. More than enough. The devil's going to try to entice you over here. You don't even look at it. You keep your eyes stayed upon him. Man, you know, we don't look to the left or the right. We're not checking out. We're not checking out strange, other strange people. We're not trying to figure out better doctrine. Let me tell you, this doctrine is as strong as anything on the planet. I'm not kidding you. I'll debate anybody about this. Because our God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above, beyond anything we could ask or think. But it's according to the power of his word that works in us. Man, if you're just wishing it's going to work out, let me just tell you, flip a coin. We don't negotiate. We don't compromise. We don't split the difference. We want all of God we can get. We're strong. Let me tell you why I serve God. Let me tell you why I trust God. Because I'm obsessed with winning. I want to win. I want that baby to win. Man, I want the foundation of your life to be a winning foundation. I want everything that you build upon to be winning. Just go out and win. That everything you put your hand to prospers, yet no weapon formed against you ever will. Oh, I'm under attack. Big dad gum deal. I'm not kidding you. Devil can't touch you. Can't touch this. You know why? I'm hidden in Christ. I'm not dodging bullets in my life. I'm standing on the promise in my life. I'm going to ask everybody in here, is your life right with God? It starts with Jesus being the Lord of your life. And I mean, that's a mouthful. Because it's Lord of all. It's not your church life and your family life. You're not teenagers. Every teenager on the planet lives two lives. A life that's around authority and a life where they're free and they're working things out. You guys that have teenagers, you want them making mistakes while they're under your care and in your house. That's where they learn. That's how they develop. That's where the rod comes into effect. But you know what? When I become a man, I put away childish things. I don't live two lives. The way I do anything is the way I do everything, because the way God does anything is the way God does everything.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.